Welcome to Rim Country Forum, your way to keep up with local information from state and community leaders, interesting experts, and local business leaders. This is your chance to hear from and talk to the people that affect your life right here in Rim Country. We invite you to be part of the show. You can express your opinions or ask your questions by calling 474-2427. We ask that you please just call once per show so everyone has a chance to participate. Thanks, and welcome to Rim Country Forum. Rim Country Forum today being brought to you by Banner Payson Medical Center, George Henry Plumbing, Heating and Cooling, At Your Service Cleaning and Tree Service, ITD Group Computer Services, Anytime Fitness, and Hospitality Wireless. Well, good Thursday morning, or as we like to think of it, Friday Eve. It's 5 minutes past 9 o'clock, 64 degrees, looking for that high today of 71. More on today's weather coming up for you here in just a little bit. Meanwhile, this morning, got some great folks here from Southwest Behavioral Health and Services here in, Southwest Behavioral and Health Services here in Rim Country. And basically, we're talking about the 30th anniversary of National Recovery Month. And with us in the studio to talk a little bit more about this, we have the president and CEO of Southwest Behavioral Health, that's Stephen Sheets, also vocation coordinator Cynthia Doherty, and CSR supervisor Becky Conway, and one of their members, Cynthia Ramos, is going to be talking to us here a little bit this hour as well. But I want to start out talking with the president and CEO, Stephen Sheets. This 30th anniversary of National Recovery Month, wow, you know, 3 decades of celebrating recovery. I mean, that's, you know, it's really something, especially for folks that may be going through some difficult times to realize that recovery really is possible.
You're right. We would live in the belief that recovery is every day. It happens every day. It's been happening for thousands of years.
Sure.
It's a great opportunity when the nation decides to actually put focus on national recovery and recovery. Some of the intention behind that was to challenge community leaders or community agencies to enhance work, improve communities, and then also improve the lives that we touch every single day.
Right. Well, you know, and they say that through the years, National Recovery Month has promoted and supported new evidence-based treatment and recovery practices. You know, for the average person out there, give us a Reader's Digest condensed version on this. You know, what is evidence-based treatment?
Yeah, evidence-based treatment is treatment that you can actually put functional outcome to. And so treatment that does not have any evidence wouldn't show any support on improving lives, improving communities around around us. And so we actually use a unique tool called the Outcome Rating Scale as one of our many evidence-based practice tools. And it actually gets just a viewpoint from a client on and the member we serve on how they're doing, how they feel like services are impacting their lives. And then we get a baseline. And as treatment goes on, we actually see for the majority of our members that life actually gets easier and better, and people are able to cope through challenges.
Well, and we really, going through the recovery process, can actually gain a lot of strength and a lot of things to be proud of through that whole experience, right?
Absolutely. One thing that I love about client work is that we can be in someone's life temporarily. We don't have to be there forever. Mm-hmm. And we can promote healthy relationship and show what relationship is supposed to look like. And oftentimes, that relationship piece is what could be broken.
Well, you know, as a leader in behavioral health, Southwest Behavioral and Health Services works hard to help those in the community struggling with all types of behavioral health issues. And some surprising statistics, just to kind of fuel the fire here to begin with, 20.7 million people age 12 or older need substance use treatment, but just 4 million people actually received treatment in the past year. 11.2 million adults had a serious mental illness in the past year. 54% of people who died by suicide did not have a known mental disorder. You know, and Stephen, one of the things that has got to be making life a little easier in the behavioral health industry is that, you know, just a few decades ago, it seemed like, you know, there was a real reluctance for people to admit that they had a behavioral health issue or any type of mental illness because you were quickly labeled. And it seems like we've grown away from that substantially.
I would agree. I think that one of the reasons why we're growing away is this push for collaborative and integrated care between primary care and mental health agencies, where we're looking at actually serving the whole person mm-hmm. rather than serving a label of a person. And so once we break down those barriers, we go to the primary care doctor if we have a sore throat or if we have, you know, an earache or anything else. But oftentimes we think that mental health is so different than that. So our goal at Southwest has been to treat the whole person. Mm-hmm. And if we're not able to actually provide every single service, then connect everyone to the services that they need for both primary and mental health.
And there's you know, this obviously can go in a lot of different directions as far as the needs of the you know, the person receiving service. And that brings us to, you know, wanting to talk a little bit with one of their members, Cynthia Ramos. And now, Cynthia, first of all, how did you first feel a need or the desire to get in touch with Southwest Behavioral Health? And give us a little bit of a background on what you've been through, and then we'll talk about the recovery process.
Well, I actually came here from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I arrived here to go to the timeout shelter when it was strictly a domestic violence shelter.
Right.
And they're the ones that put me in contact with Southwest Behavioral. Mm-hmm. I actually suffer from dissociative identity disorder, which they used to call multiple personality. Mm-hmm. And they had a therapist there that specialized in that field, which was phenomenal. And through that, we discovered that I also suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder.
This is as a result of the domestic violence?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And then there was a chemical disorder, which was a mood disorder, bipolar.
Right.
And so Southwest was able to, in the one spot, take care of all of those needs. And then they also, which was an integral part of my recovery, they had the Empowerment Center. Mm-hmm. And that has been, like I say, an integral part of my recovery. Because what happened there was I was empowered. They have services there that not only do we get help from the employees during in their peer support, but we are helped by our other peers. We work together to help in our recovery program. Mm-hmm. We assist each other. We know where we're coming from. So it's a safe environment. Everybody is at different levels in the recovery, and you get what you need and you can move on, or you can stay there and volunteer. I couldn't say enough about the people that work there. You provided transportation, and these people work tirelessly every day, and there's no complaining. Your voices are heard. And I just can't say enough. I can't say enough about it.
Well, now, with your particular story and looking through some talking points before the show today, it reminded me that, you know, I've been exposed to a lot of PTSD related concerns through my ties with first response in disasters, both with military as well as law enforcement folks. And I know a number of them really, you know, held very high positions, had a lot going on for them, but just felt like there was a steady decline in some of their ability to take, you know, to handle some of this stuff. And I know, looking at the talking points, that you know, you were pretty much living the dream. You were working, doing public speaking on domestic violence issues. You'd won a regional award for women's achievement and was accepted into the Prescott University and was raising your beautiful daughter. But then hallucinations began.
Yes, that did happen to me. And there was a Southwest Behavioral before and a Southwest Behavioral now. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of changes that took place. And the community does need to be educated on the signs of mental illness and not have the mentally ill criminalized instead of taken to the hospital and put in and
to get the actual treatment you need.
Exactly.
Right?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And you know, you mentioned that there was a Southwest Behavioral before, and then there's one now. And having a wife who's been there for 20 some years, I do know that there's been some changes there over the years that I've seen as being very, very positive. And it sounds like you have too.
Yes, extremely, extremely.
Very good. And so now, what about, you know, when we were talking before with Stephen Sheets about, you know, the fact that over the years, the way we talk about, mental health issues and things like that has changed. And you've been going through this really while a lot of those changes were happening. So I'm guessing that you no doubt were exposed to some of the ways a lot of this used to be talked about, and it's a stark contrast to how they are talked about today.
Yes, yes, there is. I would like to say also the changes that have occurred are across the board, and the main thing is the having a voice, giving the clients and even the employees a voice, and that is what the main change that has come. The changes at Southwest Behavioral, we now have a voice, and our voices are heard, and both the employees and the clients, our voices are heard now. And I have grown in the last year and a half more than I have in the past 9 years prior to. And so,
well, you know, and let me ask you, I'm sorry to interject, but let me ask you real quick. You know, I know, again, looking through, you know, some of the talking points there that you know, not only had you had, you know, challenges with occasional hallucinations, but the notes say that you weren't really on the right meds, and some things like that, and you found yourself eventually participating in illegal activity, which at the age of 43, after never having been in trouble in your life, suddenly you find yourself being called a criminal.
Right. Yes, that was traumatic. That was extremely traumatic. I am not a quiet person, and I had been asking.
That's why we have you on the radio today. Yeah, this is good. It makes my job easy.
Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
No, so. You're doing fine. You're doing fine. And I think it's good for us to hear your perspective on this.
I am not a quiet person, and I had been asking for help. I had been reporting that my medications were not working. They had worked for about 2 years, and the problem with mental illness and our medications is that at any time, they can go wrong. They can... We're subject to internal changes as well as external changes, and our medications can go wrong. Through my experience, I learned that maybe I wasn't loud enough, and to scream louder even now. And I recommend to all people suffering with mental illness to make sure that don't stop, don't stop. Don't stop advocating for yourself. But I did believe that I was speaking loud enough and my voice wasn't heard. Being criminalized, being a dissociative, my background was so traumatic that my personality split into four different personalities. What I experienced during that episode of being criminalized was bar none the worst experience I had in my life.
And I understand that the first step in your recovery process was you were taken off of all meds.
All meds.
And so then they get a chance to really see what the dynamics are without any medication at all, and then try and reassign different medications to help you with your
problem. They instituted half of the dosages. My heart rate went up to almost 200 beats a minute. So I was lucky I didn't die through the experience too. So it's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous world that we live in when you're messing with such strong chemical drugs.
Oh, very true.
And so again, I just recommend that. And people who have friends and family that have mental illness, advocate for them. We have a wonderful staff now at Southwest. There's no more revolving doors, so our prescribers are getting to know us. And again, this is a new Southwest. The staff and the prescribers and the people running, Eddie O'Brien is doing a phenomenal job.
A lot of good things about Eddie.
Yes, he and your wife, Diane, is just, those two work as
a
team.
I hear a lot of good things about her, too, but it's usually from her, so, you know.
Yes, they're, I mean, it is just, we're blessed. We are absolutely blessed now. But but advocate.
And I understand that now you've come to a point in your life where you're happy again, and you've got a good home, and life is good.
Oh, life is good. Life is good.
What? How big of a part in all of this was the counseling that you received at the Empowerment Center in your estimation?
It's integral. They've instituted classes now, so we're in groups. You know, there's nothing more dangerous than a bipolar manic person with access to the internet in the middle of the night with insomnia, because I went and compared all the other programs around Arizona to what we were getting in the Empowerment Center at the time. And you know, and before Eddie had taken over, I'm like, Eddie, they're getting this class and this class and this place and this place. And he said, Cindy, you know, don't worry, it's all going to change. And sure enough, as soon as Eddie got in that position, everything changed, you know. So sorry, guys, that was, yeah, I was part in getting all those classes.
Well, and no doubt, through this whole experience, there was no doubt challenges when it came to your family relationships and things like that. And obviously, as far as, you know, your recovery now, I mean, you've got your beautiful daughter here with you today who's here for moral support. Everybody seems smiley and happy and all that kind of good stuff. And I understand, if we can talk about this, that you've actually gotten into a relationship with a kind, generous man, too.
Yes.
We won't ask about any details on that, though.
No.
But congratulations. That's a good thing. So the big points that you want to make about behavioral health right here in the Payson community, I know one of the things that seems near and dear to you is the training of our first responders on how to better handle people with mental illness.
Yes, very much so.
Now, from your perspective, why? I mean, why is that important to you?
Well, they seem to get angry before they get smart. They want to take it out. We don't behave properly, so they want to get angry and take us to jail before they see where we're coming from and take us to the hospital and take us to where we need to be, instead of, well, we're misbehaving, so they're just going to punish us. They want to be punitive instead of...
And what about that whole point we were referring to earlier, you know, as far as just the stigma of mental illness? You know, there's some people that just don't want to take any time to think about this, and they might just quickly put a label on you instead of actually trying to understand where you're coming from.
Yes, definitely.
What's that like to deal with from your perspective?
Well, from my perspective, I kind of enjoy the shock factor, but for most people, it's frustrating for them, because they, I know, like when people go to the ER, they're treated very badly. And they're there, and they're looking for help, and the ER pretty much turns them away. There's nothing we can do for you, or they go there for a combination of reasons, and they're pretty much turned away because it's a mental health issue, and or they're
think,
just
so they don't have enough really background or training in the mental health part of this, in your opinion?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
They don't.
Now, what about you've mentioned a couple of times about having your voice be heard? That's an important thing for you.
Oh yes,
I think it's an important thing for all of us,
for everybody.
Sure.
Right. And but for us, I think it plays a larger part, because we're at the mercy. We're at people's mercy more, because we're set apart so much, and you're raised up to feel ashamed.
Right, and you mentioned a couple times too the need for those close to your family members, that type of thing, to provide advocacy, to advocate on your behalf when it comes to dealing with some of these other entities.
Very much so.
Yeah,
very much so.
And the last thing I wanted to ask you about is when it comes to, I mean, you've been through some really rough transitions as far as the timeout shelter and a lot of this other counseling and changes in meds and everything. Going through all those transitions, I would imagine housing had to be a real challenge.
Oh, yes, housing. Housing is atrocious. We have very limited housing. There's programs, you know, there's people that need to have a, you know, almost like a halfway type of housing, where people live on site with people transitioning from. A lot of people are living with their families. They can't live alone or live with just a case manager visiting. There's people that need to live with somebody living on site, and that way they can still maintain a sense of independence, but still be safe. There's no affordable housing. I mean, there's not affordable housing for people without mental illness, let alone with people living on unlimited income.
Sure.
So, again,
with us in the studio, President and CEO of Southwest Behavioral and Health Services, Stephen Sheets. And I know, Stephen, you have several facilities. We won't talk about locations or anything, but several facilities, multifamily housing for folks that are making some of these transitions. And it sounds like that's really an integral piece in the whole equation.
It sure is. I think housing is one of the main challenges when you're having trouble addressing some of the mental health challenges. Sometimes we need to go back and take maybe 10 steps backwards, mm-hmm. and then say, what are the immediate needs that really need to be met prior to going and trying to provide some treatment or some support? We do have different housing options in the Payson area, where it goes from treatment and then it goes to more independent type housing. And in the Maricopa County area, we have a lot of housing options available.
And that's something significant to talk a little bit more about, too. Southwest Behavioral Health is not just a single office in Payson. You have many facilities down in the Metro Phoenix area all over the valley, right?
Yeah. We have 12 outpatient clinics total. We have 4 methadone maintenance programs across the central and northern regions. And we have 4 hospital-like settings in central Phoenix and the north region. Mm-hmm. We're also in schools. We provide school-based services. We're in about over 160 schools now. Wow. Across probably around 26 to 28 districts.
And specifically with regard to the schools, what type of, how does that get facilitated into the schools there?
Typically, we try to work with the district and then we get buy-in from the school-based program. And we work directly with the child, and then we also work with the teacher, and we work with the administration to try to have a holistic approach. And then if we need to, if we identify that, you know, home-based services are needed too, then we provide services in the home. We don't think that there's just a blank spot on a circle. We have to really help everyone in a continuum, because if you help one area, another area might be having some challenge. Right. So we try to help in almost every area when it's needed.
And I guess one of the added challenges with that is the fact that there are many different types of mental illness, from substance abuse to this to that, and so you have to have kind of a different protocol, you know, specifically designed for each individual's need.
No label is treated the same way. I think, and that's why we get away from label and we just want to treat the person.
Right.
So we've been making, Southwest has been in the central area, and then as a whole, as an agency, been in the Arizona area for about 50 years. And we have seen our system shape, and then kind of to go back to National Recovery Month, is to really take away the label, take away the stigma, and say we just want to be there to help someone through a difficult time.
Outstanding. Now we have to take a quick break and get you caught up on today's weather forecast. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Stephen Sheets, again, President and CEO of Southwest Behavioral and Health Services. Also, Cynthia Ramos, one of their members, with us, and in the studio as well. We'll pick on Becky Conway a little bit. She's a CSR supervisor for Southwest Behavioral, as Cynthia Doherty is also with us. She's a vocation coordinator that can really, you know, help these folks get back into the workforce again, and we'll talk a little bit about some of those things as well. All that and more coming up right after these words. Don't go away.
Are you putting off going to the gym because you don't love the shape you're in?
You can't get where you're going if you never leave where you are.
This is Gwen and James at Anytime Fitness.
Take the first step and walk through our doors. We believe in celebrating the little victories.
Our staff and trainers are dedicated to your health and fitness, open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
You can find us at our website, Facebook, and Instagram.
We're located next to Urgent Care at 101 South Beeline Highway, Suite B. Stop in or call 928-468-8001.
Find expert surgeons right here in Payson. My name's Steve Thompson. I'm a registered nurse, and I've lived in Payson for 12 years and have worked at Banner Payson Medical Center as a perioperative nurse for 14 years. Did you know that our community has 3 board-certified general surgeons? Dr. Susan Horn, Dr. Lloyd Olson, and Dr. Leroy Wombold, providing a wide range of services including colonoscopy, hernia repair, breast surgery, cyst and lump removal, wound care, abdominal, intestinal, and colorectal surgery. For more information, call 928-596-4600. Banner Payson Medical Center, Banner Healthcare, right here at home.
Are you tired of your unreliable internet connection? Suddenly it's on, suddenly it's off. Suddenly your bill goes way up. They claim unlimited data. Oh, it's unlimited, all right. Right until you reach your cap. Then the data changes, throttling your speed until it's unusable. Well, I've got great news. Hospitality Wireless is now in Payson, part of the new technology revolution to deliver fiber affordably, right through the airwaves, right to your home or business, with high speed and truly unlimited data. No long waits trying to get somebody on a toll-free number. Hospitality Wireless even does support, ordering, and question answering right on the phone with text messaging. Try that with the other guy's 800 number. Hospitality Wireless, guaranteeing our service for reliability, speed, and quality. Oh, and did I tell you can lower your bill to something that's affordable again for internet, phone, and TV? Hospitality Wireless, 928-468-0000. Or shoot a text to 928-970-2065 to find out more. Hospitality Wireless.
Your KMOG Rim Country weather forecast for this Thursday, September 26th. It'll be partly sunny and breezy today. We do have a 60% chance for more showers and thunderstorms, with Payson's high around 71 degrees. 63 the expected high on top of the rim. And our neighbors to the south in Tonneau Basin and Roosevelt Lake, your high today around 84 degrees, and you still have a flash flood watch in effect through 5 o'clock this afternoon in Tonneau Basin. So when can you expect these clouds and showers to move out? A complete look at your 7-day forecast is coming up right here on your information station, KMOG. Welcome back to Rim Country Forum. 29 minutes in front of 10 o'clock, 65 degrees right now. Again, looking for that high today of 77, and we have your 7-day forecast coming up for you in just a little bit. Meanwhile, this morning, in honor of September being the 30th anniversary of National Recovery Month, we have with us from Southwest Behavioral and Health Services, their president and CEO, Stephen Sheets. Also, Becky Conway, their CSR supervisor. We've been talking to one of their members, Cynthia Ramos, this morning. Stephen, one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting that would be fun to talk about for just a minute is, as you know, Cynthia had mentioned that there's such a need for family members to be an advocate for their loved one who may be suffering from a form of mental illness. But a lot of times it's a matter of getting the right information in their hands to begin with. And Southwest Behavioral is offering a mental health first aid training pretty much for anyone that has a need or interest, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. We were awarded a grant through SAMHSA, and they're a nationally known mental health advocacy group. And the whole part of this mental health first aid training is to assist people with building skills, identifying what mental health, mental illness, or mental health concerns might look like. And then giving people an ability to understand terms to use when they're identifying mental health needs, rather than using stigma terms that might point out and make people feel belittled or less. It's really taking away some of that edge, which we truly need to do, and we continually need to do it over and over, and really empower our community to identify, support, and advocate.
All right, 27 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. By the way, we're taking phone calls. If you have questions or comments this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 474-2427, the number to call, and let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on Rim Country Forum. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you. Great show, and thank you for being so outspoken about a lot of things. You know, I noticed in the paper that they had a big article about Margene Elsley that got shot by her husband, and then her husband shot himself down here in Geysila, where I live. And anyway, that's one of the things that I had read about. You know, that was like obvious. You knew the guy was sick because he was going around telling everybody what he was going to do. And I used to go down to the Rye Bar once in a while, and he'd be down there, and I was kind of scared of the guy. You know, I was a lot bigger than him, but he was kind of, he would look at you really kind of crazy. But, you know, I didn't know that mental illness could be something like an addiction to anything. It could be cigarettes or something like that. I was wondering what mental illness you were talking about. Like, did somebody have some kind of a, you know, where they couldn't function properly or they were mad at the world? What is actually, is it a chemical imbalance people get? Is it something that they're hooked on?
I'm guessing, Stephen, that your answer is going to be all of the above.
Yes, all of the above, and I think that it could be as simple as what maybe I would say simple is just unexpected things that might happen throughout our normal day to day.
Now, with the you know, one of the points that he made as far as folks that struggle with addiction, would you, I mean, do you have like a gut feel as to what percentage of the substance abuse based challenges that you see were people that were just trying to self-medicate, take care of pains that they were dealing with through, you know, alcohol, illegal drugs, and things like that? I mean, rather than the drugs themselves being the cause, there was actually a cause prior to the drug abuse that led to the abuse. Would that be a safe assessment? And what percentage of the folks that you've seen would you say fall into that category?
Yeah, I would probably say every attempt is a good intention to try to relieve ourselves from any challenge or stress. Mm-hmm. So I would almost say near 100% of individuals using a substance is typically trying to mask or not pay attention to the underlying needs.
And it's not always a drug. I mean, a lot of people, if they're all stressed out, hey, the first thing, I need some chocolate cake or something like that. I mean, we all have different ways, and as I stuff the pack of cigarettes a little further down in my pocket, I mean, we all have different ways of coping with stress that, you know, may or may not be a real logical avenue.
Absolutely. And some are getting on your phone and going onto the internet. Some are going and getting coffee. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there are so many...
Now, wait a second. Don't go over the line with coffee. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the word drug, you know, means a lot of different things. We sometimes look pretty narrow and we say, oh, it's, you know, cocaine or it's heroin or right. It's marijuana or it's alcohol. But it's truly a bigger thing than just our illicit substances.
And so it really does come back to what is the root cause? What's causing the stress that you feel like you need to, you know, eat a French fried Shetland pony or take drugs or drink alcohol? I mean, it's getting back to that root. And I noticed one of the things that I found very interesting and compelling about Cynthia Ramos's story is that you got to a point where you had to take her off of her meds completely to get kind of back to square one to reassess what was really needed in order to, you know, I guess get her back onto the road to recovery.
I don't know nearly enough about Cynthia's story to kind of speak on that, but what I would say is I think that more than likely everyone, and she would be a better gauge at this than me, more than likely everyone that she probably came in contact with had good intention. Mm-hmm. The challenge is that if we're not asking the right questions and if we're not really trying to address the underlying issue, sometimes we give the wrong type of medicine or we give the wrong type of assistance. Until we truly understand and really elicit that challenge, that's really when we can start making an impact,
right.
and really start trying to put someone, if medication is the right avenue, the correct medication and the correct support services. We believe, at least at Southwest, we believe that the majority of individuals that are on medication really should be receiving some other ancillary support or some other type of support, not because of anything other than we believe that a little more help really goes a long way, just like preventative treatment really goes a long way for the long term.
Right. And Cynthia, you know, you've been through some amazing transformations, and it's nice to see you sitting here smiling this morning. Obviously, this has been a long road that you've gone through, but for the folks out there, you know, there's bound to be someone listening. We've got a pretty good-sized audience. There's bound to be someone listening right now that, you know, is just quietly thinking, well, You know, gosh, I've struggled with some of those same kinds of things, but they haven't decided to reach out and talk to anyone about it. What would you say to that person right now?
I would definitely say to go ahead and reach out. Definitely reach out, because it's not going to get any better. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. And for me, my smiles and my strength come from the Lord. That's where my strength comes from. People make the mistake of thinking that it's me that is strong, but it's not. My solution, my mental illness began showing when I was an adolescent. And my first psychotic break came after the birth of my daughter. Hmm. It started with the postpartum depression and went into psychosis.
Right.
And because I wasn't going to get help, because I did work in the social service field, I thought everybody was going to know how sick I was, and nobody would ever hire me again.
That had to be a really lonely place to be.
Oh, it was extremely lonely. And I'm kind of a get-her-done kind of girl. And so,
I get that impression.
Yeah. So when I believed the voices in my head that the only way to save my daughter was to take my own life, that's what my intention was going to. And that's when I had a spiritual experience, and the Lord showed me what I was actually doing. And
is that when you decided it was time to reach out and get some help?
Yes, yes.
Well,
and I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but if you keep me on my feet, I'll keep them moving. And here we are today. And so that was 23 years ago. And so, so reach out, because it's not going to get better. And find a good church. Have that relationship with the Lord, because he's the only one that's not ever going to leave you.
Amen. Sounds great. 19 in front of 10 o'clock. We have another caller on the line. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on Rim Country Forum. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say amen, sister. You know, and I'm sorry to call back again. I don't have a phone addiction or anything like that. I just want to actually put a praise out to Dean Pedersen. I'm sure you guys know who he is. He just became a Pine teacher, named World Teacher of the Year. He was just in the paper.
Right.
And he was running a class for Stop Smoking in the year 2000, and that's when I stopped smoking cigarettes. And he is the greatest guy you would ever want to meet. You guys need, I know you work with the school system, and he's down in Pine. He does, I think he works with the gym and stuff like that with the kids, but he's also done a lot of work with the kids with suicidal and you know, all sorts of problems. They open up to this guy. They talk to him. And I know you had mentioned that there's a lot of counselors at your place that are just the most greatest people. And that's what it takes. It doesn't take somebody looking down at their nose at somebody. You know, I was going to buy this shirt one time, and I was going to wear it, but it was for me. It was, don't talk bad about me unless you're perfect. You know, but anyway, this guy is just a great guy, and I think you need to hook up with him, and share things and with the school system and everything like that.
Right.
Anyway,
I think it's a great idea, and you know, right along with that, Becky Conway, who is the CSR supervisor at Southwest Behavioral Health. And Becky, I mean, you've been there since, you know, just after Moses was a boy, if I remember right.
Yes.
And so, and I think, hasn't Dean Pedersen had some ties to Southwest Behavioral in the past?
Yeah, he worked with us, I'm not sure how long ago, but he did work with our kids on our kids team, and he is a wonderful person, and he really advocates for the kids and has the resources to help them out.
He's got a certain a special gift and level of empathy, a real servant's heart when it comes to, you know, seeing the needs and then stepping up to meet those. Which brings me right to the point that I wanted to ask you about, Becky. You know, you and your team at Southwest Behavioral are kind of on the front lines when someone comes in, especially for the first time. And that was, I think, one of the things that I just feel really compelled to talk a little bit more about based on Cynthia's story and everything. The folks that are listening out there that might not have considered seeking help, but now are, you know, starting to think that, you know, maybe I do need to talk to somebody and get another set of eyes on this situation. As someone who you and your team are again right there on the front lines when people come in, I mean, you no doubt have seen the struggles that people have just deciding to come in for the first time.
Oh, absolutely. we have people come in daily that are just really struggling, and they tell us all the time how hard it is for them to even just walk in the door. Mm-hmm. So we try to just be comforting to them, supportive of them, and just help them through the process, kind of explain a little bit about what to expect and, you know, what services we can offer, which in the last probably 10 years, we've been able to offer so many different programs from 0 to 100.
Well, and it goes back to what Cynthia was saying, you know, the old Southwest Behavioral and the new Southwest Behavioral, there has been some significant changes, personnel changes, as well as just the overall, you know, format of services offered and things. And from what you're saying, it sounds like there's a whole heck of a lot more being offered now than there was just a few years ago.
Oh, absolutely. I started at, it was Rim Guidance Center in October of 99, and super small. We had maybe 300 clients, and now we're just under 1,000 clients. We have so many different success stories, and we have different groups. We have individual counseling. We have medication services. We're able to reach out to our other facilities throughout the state and, you know, get resources from them and substance abuse treatment, things right. like that. So,
well, you know, it's got to be a challenge for you all when folks are coming in sometimes at the, you know, maybe the worst times in their life and you know, trying to understand that. But then when you see, like you said, you have so many success stories, that's got to be very gratifying for you over time, you know, to see that, you know, the fruit of everybody's labor at Southwest Behavioral.
Oh, yeah. I have probably dozens of clients that I can think of off the top of my head that when they came in were just so down and out, and like Cynthia here is amazing and very outspoken and just a great advocate for themselves and for others. And like I said, I have dozens of people that I've known the whole time I've worked there that are just amazing.
And again, Stephen, I want to talk for just a second about the mental health first aid training offered through Southwest Behavioral. You know, whether you are a family member of someone who's struggling with behavioral health issues, perhaps you work in a place where, you know, that kind of thing is a common problem, or maybe just, you know, folks that you know where you work that are struggling with different mental health issues. It sounds like this type of mental health first aid training, you know, could really be beneficial for lots of different folks in lots of different scenarios.
Yeah, we've held multiple trainings already in the Maricopa Phoenix proper area, mm-hmm. At schools, at college institutions, wow. and so if there is any interest, you know, on our website, sbhservices.org, we have a contact us link, and it goes directly to our marketing director, who is a mental health first aid trainer. Oh. And she coordinates and schedules trainings, and we are more than open to serving or to at least bringing more awareness in any venue in the Gila County area, and then beyond.
And again, that website, sbhservices.org. You can also contact their patient number at local number, 474-3303. Well, that's a familiar number. It's been that number for a long time. Also, you can find them on Facebook at facebook.com/sbhservices, and also on Twitter with SBH Services as well. We're going to find out a little bit more about what they have going on and wrap things up here. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you too. 474-2427, the number. Back with more right after this.
Are computer issues taking time away from your business, your family, your life? At the ITD Group, they'll fix any technology issue, big or small, for an affordable price. Services include repairing viruses and malware, repairing laptop screens, fixing networking issues, repairing software and hardware, and much more. They can even pick up and drop off your laptop, fix it on location, or assist you remotely. Contact Sam today at 623-680-1775 or sam@theitdgroup.com. You'll find his ad and a link to his website on our website, kmogcountry.com.
At Your Service Cleaning and Tree Service is back in the Rim Country and offering more than ever before. We offer residential and commercial cleaning of homes and buildings from top to bottom, and yes, we even do windows. There's no job too big or small. We offer tree maintenance such as tree trimming, elevating, and pruning. We remove hazard trees, and we are certified in FireWise Detail. We are licensed, bonded, and insured, and we offer free estimates and discounted rates for seniors and veterans. We are friendly, dependable, and affordable. We are at your service. Give us a call at 928-970-2080.
George Henry's Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling wants to remind you that customer service is important to us. We've been serving the Rim Country for over 50 years. We're licensed, bonded, and insured, have fully loaded vans, our own showroom, and our technicians have completed background checks, wear uniforms, and drive vehicles with our logo. Call us at 928-474-5037 or stop by our showroom at 204 South Beeline Highway in Payson. George Henry's Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling.
Welcome back to Rim Country Forum. 10 and a half minutes in front of 10 o'clock, 64 degrees right now at the Radio Ranch on Tyler Parkway in Payson. We've been spending the hour this morning talking with folks from Southwest Behavioral and Health Services. With us in the studio, Stephen Sheets, their president and CEO. Also, Becky Conway, their CSR supervisor. And one of their members, Cynthia Ramos, with us as well. And Becky, wanted to just talk a little bit more. You know, one of the things that, you know, has been mentioned on and off throughout the situation, or throughout our conversations here this morning, is that of substance abuse. And I don't think, you know, it'd be pretty hard-pressed to find a family anywhere that hasn't had to deal with that at one level or another. And I know that I think we all have family members, somebody at work or something that we know may be dealing with a substance abuse issue, whether it's illegal drugs, alcohol, or like I was saying earlier, chocolate cake or whatever. But this is something that's near and dear to you. And I know that your family, you've had some struggles with family members with substance abuse. So, I mean, this has got to be extra near and dear to you to be able to get people to understand that there is help and there is a road to recovery.
Absolutely. My family struggled with it. My children, my extended family, and there's really nobody out there that is not affected by this. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard for the whole family to deal with. And I just really encourage everybody to reach out. I've had several people that come in and talk to me because of my experiences. I'll be right. more than happy to share and help connect you with the right resources or get you the services that you need. And
and right along with that, one of the things that Cynthia had said earlier was that, you know, this profound feeling of loneliness that she experienced. And I would venture a guess that family members of those who are struggling with a substance abuse issue, at least initially, have that same thing too, where, you know, I don't want to talk to anyone about this. I'm kind of all out here on my own, just dealing with it on my own. And that's a hard place to recover from. You really do need to reach out, right?
Absolutely. Everybody does, and everybody needs the help. And, you know, even myself, you know, have struggled and have a hard time reaching out and asking for help, but you really need to be able to make it through and to be the support that you need to be for your other family members or friends.
You know, it's so huge, and it's amazing, and thank you for sharing that, because I know that wasn't an easy message to share, but it's a good one, and people need to realize, again, I think this all goes towards getting past that former stigma that was really based in ignorance about mental health issues and things like that. It's not easy for people to you know, maybe just come out in the open and say that. And so, first of all, thank you. But it also encourages us to be able to do the same. And I know, what an amazing story of success, Cynthia Ramos, that you've had. I mean, you talked about being a victim of domestic violence, had some different substance abuse issues, had a lot of different things that got you labeled as a criminal for a while. And, I mean, you went through some tough stuff. But now, after coming through all of this, getting the guidance both as far as, you know, medically and emotionally and everything, between that and a little intervention from above, thank God, you're sitting here with a smile on your face, and the only thing you really want to say is thanks.
Yeah, definitely. I want to say thanks to everybody. I know I can be a force of nature, and I appreciate...
Well, take a number and stand in that line, sweetheart.
Yeah. I just want to say thanks to everybody. You guys are always there to help me every time I ask. You stop what you're doing, in fact, and just to help me do whatever I need. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody at the Empowerment Center and everybody at Southwest Behavioral. Thank you so, so very much. I wouldn't be here without you guys.
You know, you're talking about them like this is not a bunch of people at some organization or something like that. It sounds like you're talking about family.
I see it that way. I really do. I see it that way. I spend every day, 5 days a week with them. And my family, too, my daughter, Jillian, I want to give honorable mention to because she puts up with 7 days a week, and hey, that can't be easy. That just can't be easy.
She's still smiling. That's a good thing. That's a good sign. Now, when it comes to the Empowerment Center, there might be a lot of folks out there that aren't familiar with this. First of all, Southwest Behavioral and Health Services, for a long time, has been located down there at the corner of South McLean and Arrow Drive. But down the street just a little further, there's, and I don't remember the address off the top of my head, although you'd think I would know it. What's that? 302 West Arrow, and that's where the Empowerment Center is, and it's right at the corner of Westerly and Arrow Drive. And a day program? I know there's a lot of people that come in there for the day and hang out, and you guys have lunch, and there's different group sessions, and there's a lot of different things to help people through all kinds of different struggles, right?
Yes, it's a structured program. We have classes, we have groups, we support each other there. It is a day program, but it's basically where we go to meet and help each other, structures our day. If we didn't have that, we...